Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Man, it's great to see so many of you that braved the snowy weather, and I'm just really happy that you're here. For those of you that don't know me, I know we've got some guests in the house this morning. My name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church, and we just welcome you. Just so glad that you're here with us this morning. I'd also like to give a special welcome to those who'll be listening later on today and later on this week online. And so, man, we appreciate all of those who listen to our services online, and so we just welcome you. I want to give you a quick announcement here this morning. In 2 weeks, so 2 weeks from today, we are beginning a relationship series called The Vow. Everybody say The Vow. The Vow. And so wedding vows are more than a declaration of love. Really, they hold the keys to a strong, lasting marriage. And so if you're here and you're married, or if you're here and you hope to get married, or maybe you're here and you had a bad experience and don't know if you ever want to get married again or something like that, listen, this series hits everyone in this room. And so we just encourage you to make plans for that 2 weeks from today. Bring someone with you and discover how the vow can positively change the future of your relationship. So today we are going to continue our Why series. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and ask them why? Come on, turn to your other neighbor and ask them, why? Why does it have to keep snowing? Whoever's praying for snow, you need to stop, all right? We're going to have a discussion, a pastoral meeting about that, all right? The little girl we just saw in the bumper video repeatedly asked her mother the simple question, why? And researchers have done studies on this, and they have shown that a young child will ask an average of 288 questions throughout the course of a single day. And so children are curious. They want to learn the reason that things happen. They want to know why certain things are done. And after spending a few hours with a preschooler, I think that my perspective, my thought is sometimes they don't even really want to know. They just like to hear themselves talk. How many of you parents would agree with that here this morning? But nonetheless, I think there are things that we can glean from a child's innate desire to question and to ask, to learn, and to grow. Because when it comes to why we do the things that we do when we gather for church on a Sunday morning, many of us don't fully understand the why. And because we've not fully understood, what happens is we miss out on some of the great promises that God has for us. And I want you to hear that this morning. God has great promises for you. And I think if you've been coming to the Lifeway for any length of time, you've heard me say this before, but it's worth repeating because it's so true. The things that God asks of us that we find in this book are not because he's got nothing better to do and he's bored. He's not sitting up there in heaven just trying to, let me just pick on Andrew today. He's not up there trying to make our lives miserably. The truth is that God doesn't need anything from any of us in this room. He's God. The earth is the Lord's, the scripture tells us. It's all his. The choices that I make to follow or not follow him does not change the fact that he is still God. Somebody say amen. And so then you might ask, well then Andrew, why does he ask these things? And I believe that he asks because as his children, he wants and he has good things for us. We'll teach our kids, don't play near the stove. We'll teach them, you know what, do your best to succeed in school. Why? Because we know that on top of that stove is something that can harm them and hurt them very seriously. We understand that if they'll learn and apply themselves in school, it will prepare them to have success in the later years of their life. And so it is with the things of God, the things that he asks us to do in this book. On the other side of our obedience, there is blessing. Somebody should believe that. right? You'll gain access to things that money cannot buy. You'll get a peace that passes all understanding. You'll get joy down in your heart. You'll find fulfillment. You'll find hope. You'll find love. You'll find blessing. And so my goal in this series is really to answer the why behind the things we do on Sunday as a church family. And so I encourage you to take out your sermon outline. It's in your service guide. It looks just like this. Most of the scriptures are here. There's some fill in the blanks. I encourage you to follow along. Take some notes. Those of you that don't like paper, it's available on our app for free. And you can follow along digitally if you'd like. But I encourage you to follow along and take some notes with me here this morning. Charles Plum was a Navy fighter pilot who flew 75 successful combat missions during the Vietnam War. But on his 76th mission, his plane was hit by a missile. Now, Charles was able to eject, but he parachuted right down into the hands of the enemy waiting below. He spent the next 6 years in a prisoner of war camp where he survived, and once the war ended, he was eventually released. Much time had passed, years had passed, and Charles was back in the United States, and him and his wife were at a restaurant. They were eating dinner, and a man walked up from another table, and he said, "You're Plum. You flew a fighter jet in Vietnam from the aircraft carrier Kitty Hawk, and you were shot down." Now Charles was bewildered. He asked him, "How in the world do you know that?" To which the man replied, "I packed your parachutes." Charles gasped and with surprise and ingratitude, and the man reached out his hand and vigorously shook it, and he said, "I guess it worked." Charles assured him, "If it hadn't, I wouldn't be sitting in this restaurant here today." They would later go home, and that evening, the former pilot had difficulty falling asleep as his mind began to race, thinking about this man. He questioned what he must have looked like in his uniform. He wondered how many times he walked past him while they served together on the Kitty Hawk. How many times did he see him and never acknowledge his presence? Because as a fighter pilot, Charles was one of the elite. He was a star on the ship, while this man was just a rank and file sailor. Charles considered the many hours that this man must have spent in the bowels of the ship, carefully folding the silks of each chute and packing it into the pack. How this man, who at a surface level seemed insignificant, held the fate of his life in his very hands. Plum, now a public speaker, when he shares this story, he asks this question: "Who is packing your parachutes?" Because every one of us has someone who provides the things that we need to make it through the day. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about the why when it comes to the body of Christ, the why when it comes to serving, because Charlie Plum's experience reminds us that every community needs every person playing their part if it is to function successfully. And I want you to understand this morning that some of the parts will appear to be more glamorous than others, like the role of a fighter pilot, while others will occur behind the scenes and out of the way, seemingly unimportant, like stuffing silk into a backpack. But what I want you to understand this morning, it's the first blank in your outline, it's this, is that every part of the body of Christ is essential. Every role. Every person in this room is essential. You are an essential piece to what God wants to do in the earth and what God wants to do more specifically in our church. And so if you've got your Bibles or your digital device, you can open it up, turn to Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. We will have the scriptures here up on the screen. But this is what it says. And it says, "So dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God," watch this, "because of all he has done for you." And I just want to pause right there, and I want to encourage you, just take a moment right now, just right in the middle of this message, and I want you to remember all of the things that God has done in your life. Has He blessed you? Has He healed you? Has He saved you? Has He delivered you from an addiction? Has He restored your marriage or another broken relationship in life? Has He removed you from a hopeless situation? If so, then Paul tells us that the proper response to God's work in our lives is to give our lives, to present them back to Him. Going on, it says, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. In other words, Paul is saying, live a life of gratitude. Live a life that says, you know what, God, I understand because of all You've done for me, my life is not my own, Lord. I give myself completely to You. Lord, would You use me? God, if You need me, I'll go. God, count me in. I'll do it. And then skipping down just a couple of verses later, verse 4, it says this, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, verse 5, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, watch this, and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. We are not an island unto ourselves. When we become followers of Jesus Christ, we are part of the family of God, and we belong to one another. I want to point out to you that even though Adam lived in a place of perfection in the Garden of Eden, everything was there that he needed to survive. God said that it was not good for him to be what? Alone. And so He created Eve, and everything from that point on was established on the foundation of relationships. And so as we come together as a church body, we are redeemed together. We are justified together. We are forgiven together. We are created anew together. Our needs are met here together. We're loved by God together. We are perfected together. And one day we will be living together forever in eternity. How many of you look forward to that day? And so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. And so that means, the next blank in your outline, it means that I cannot fully achieve the identity that God has created me to be unless I am serving others. While I am an individual, and while all of us in this room are individuals, I have been strategically put together to fill a need by serving the body of Christ. Going on in verse 6, it says this, in His grace, God has given us different gifts. Everybody say different gifts. Different gifts for doing certain things well. All of us in this room, we are all gifted in some way. I like to say it this way. Every one of us in this room, we are all a 10 in some area. And it may take some time for us to figure it out, but we have a place that we have been gifted in the body of Christ to be difference makers. But here's the problem that we face. The problem that we face in our society is that a non-biblical, consumeristic version of Christianity has risen up in the church. And people will come into an auditorium like this and in churches all across America, and they'll come in and they're content to sit back and listen to the music and be entertained by clever videos and great sounding music. And they'll come in week after week after week, and they'll simply come and sit there, and they won't use their giftings. They won't fulfill their role in serving one another. And so if you consider the LifeWay your church home, and if you're a guest here this morning, take the parts of it that are for you. But some of this, I'm just talking to the church family here this morning. But if the LifeWay is your church home, I want you to understand that you are not sitting here by happenstance or accident. The Bible, in fact, tells us that the steps of the righteous man are what? Are ordered of the Lord. And so I believe that God intentionally attaches individuals to a local church because He knows the needs of each particular body of believers. And because he has created us, the scripture tells us he's ordained us, he's woven us together, he's knit us together in our mother's womb, he put our passions and our giftings inside of us, then what he does is he strategically places us. You've been strategically placed in a local church body to use those gifts to make a difference. I know it's hard. Nobody wants to say amen to this message today. I get it. But what I need for you to understand this morning is this. If I'm not using my gifts, then the body is incomplete. If I'm not using my giftings, then the body is incomplete. In other words, God has designed you to fulfill a specific role in the local church family. Going on, it says this. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. That's what the body of Christ does. It serves. We have been gifted by God for the purpose of serving one another. I want to just pause here for a moment and issue a little bit of a challenge. Don't just serve. Serve with joy. Serve with gladness in your heart. In fact, we just celebrated, I think probably a lot of us in this room, you know, Thursday was Valentine's Day. And imagine husbands in the house, any husbands in the house today or boyfriends in the house. Imagine Thursday, you come in from work, spouse meets you in the kitchen, you've got this nice box of chocolates here, and you just throw it on the table. I don't know why we do this stupid stuff. Here you go, happy Valentine's Day. You may have checked the box off and got a gift, but you just ruined everything, right? And if you did that, you need to come to the vow starting in 2 weeks, all right? Listen, choosing to do what you do with a spirit of joy will take you places in life that you could never imagine going before. So choose joy. Choose joy. Watch this. We're going to move on. Verse 9 says this. Don't just pretend to love others. I love it when you're reading the Bible. This is written to the church. Oh, come on. This is another message right here. Don't just pretend. Oh, come on. Some of you have been in church and that person walks in. You're like, I'm going over here right now. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Watch this. Take delight in honoring each other. You see, when I truly love someone, when I truly love others, when I love the body of Christ, I don't keep score. I don't say to Shiloh, well, Shiloh, I got you chocolates the last time. I'm not doing it again till you give me some chocolate. Love doesn't keep score. And when we love the body of Christ, you know, we don't call our coach or our director on the dream team and say, well, this is my 9th consecutive week of serving. They call me every stinking week. What a bummer. Gosh, when are we going to get our own building, you know? When are we going to have to stop pulling these cards, right? No. I want you to take delight. I take delight in playing my part. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because I can use my giftings to make a difference. I take delight in helping to transform a school into a place that people can walk in and feel the presence of Jesus and their life be transformed by his power. Verse 11, it gets easier. Never be lazy. Once again, written to the church. Somebody say, that's me. That's another message too. We won't go there. You're already going to hate me by the end of this. All right, never be lazy. Here's the key. Work hard. Work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. One of our leadership core values In fact, we talked about it in our corporate huddle this morning as sacrifice. We are servant leaders. Every one of us in this room, we have been called to be leaders, and we've been called not to just be leaders, but to be servant leaders. Servant leaders say, we don't have to do this, we get to do this. What a privilege it is to come together on a Sunday and gather with people who love the name of Jesus and work side by side and do something that makes a difference for eternity. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I've worked some jobs and I don't always like cleaning the bathroom. I don't always like pulling a broom out and sweeping the shop floor. But it's great to come together on Sunday and realize for just a few hours, I'm going to do something that's going to change the course of eternity for someone who's broken and depressed and hurting. And so when you carry this attitude, you are becoming the living sacrifice that Paul talked about in Romans 12:1. Here's the deal this morning. The foundational truth that this message is built on is the fact that every single one of us in this room, we want our lives to matter. All of us. We want our lives to make a difference, and so we pursue education, and we pursue promotions, and we pursue leadership positions, and we learn new skills, and we try to earn more money, all because we want to make a difference. And I want you to hear me this morning. There's nothing wrong with any of those things, but those things alone, I promise you, they will never, ever fulfill you, because they alone were not what we were created to do. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Verse 12, their responsibility is to, watch this, underline this, equip God's people. Somebody say, that's me. I'm God's people. Come on, say it. Come on, tell someone next to you, I'm God's people. Their responsibility is to equip God's people, watch this, to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. I hope this comes as a revelation to some of you. I want you to catch this. Many people will say, well, Andrew, I can't do that. I can't facilitate a life group. I can't do things. You're the pastor, Andrew. Why don't you lead that group? Andrew, you get paid. You're the one who should be doing the ministry. But my job as a pastor, by what we just read in Ephesians 4:11, isn't to do the ministry, it's to equip you to do the work of God. And so God has made each of us with unique talents and personalities and skills. We've all been given, every one of us in this room, we've been given a variety of spiritual gifts to help build up the church. Ephesians 4:16, just a few verses later, says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part, say that's me, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow. Your part is to help somebody else grow so that the whole body, watch this, is healthy and growing and full of love. You want to know why churches fail? You want to know why churches close their doors? It's not because pastors stop preaching. It's because the body of Christ, the family of God, stops doing the things that they were called to do. And that is serve. It's to make a difference so that the body will be healthy, growing, and full of love. And so why do we serve? Why do we have at the Lifeway, we call it our dream team. There are many reasons, but I want to share five of them with you here this morning. Here's the first one. Number one, the next blank in your outline. Serving allows us to experience miracles. Anybody in the room want to experience a miracle? Nobody. Okay, well, thank you. Three people. Oh, you're writing. Oh, sorry. Okay, I asked a question too quick to a fill in the blank. Sorry, all right? Serving allows us to experience the miraculous. I don't have time to tell the whole story, but in the second chapter of John, you can write this in your notes here, it records the very first miracle that Jesus ever performed. It happened at a local wedding celebration. And basically what was going on is the couple that was being married, and it wasn't like, you know, our wedding celebrations here where there's, you know, the ceremony and then like a 2 or 3 hour thing, maybe, or 4 hours. Typically there, you know, the celebration would last, you know, sometimes up to a week and even longer. And so what was going on is the couple was started running out of wine for their guests. And in those days, that was actually a very big deal. It was actually considered a disgrace for that to happen. It was like a black eye on this new family name. And so Jesus tells and instructs the servants, everybody say the servants, to fill up these giant vessels with water and then take it to the wedding coordinator to approve it and taste it. And so at some point between the filling and the walking it over to the person that was in charge of the wedding, the water had miraculously turned into wine. But what I want you to realize, what I want you to grasp this morning is that the guests that were there, the people that were there partying and celebrating, they never knew that a miracle had just taken place. They were in the party. They even tasted the fruit of the miracle. I could preach because some of you are used to coming into church and you've tasted the fruit of what God is doing in this house, but you don't even know the miracles that are coming in. They were oblivious to the fact that the miracle had just occurred in their midst. But the servants, they had a front row seat. They had a front row seat to see what Jesus had just performed. And I want you to tell you this morning that the same is true for us when we gather together and when we serve. There is no better feeling in the world than laying your head on your pillow at the end of a long Sunday and reflecting on the story of somebody who walked through these doors, who was hopeless and broken and addicted and hurting and alone, who because of the role that you played in the body, they were able to say yes to Jesus and be completely set free. And so when we serve, we get a front row seat to experience the miraculous. Here's the second reason we serve. Number two, serving helps us to be more like Jesus. It helps us to be more like Jesus. When we begin serving others, what happens is we shift our focus off of ourselves. I don't know about you. You guys are probably much better Christians than I am, but I can be a pretty self-centered person. Don't say amen, Shiloh, all right? But as I serve, when I come together, I become less self-absorbed and I begin to view things from an eternal perspective, and I begin to see others not as a problem and not as a person that annoys me, but I begin to see others as Jesus Christ sees them, one of his beautiful children. I begin to look at people with empathy for the struggles that they have in their lives, and I develop compassion for their soul. So serving allows us to experience the miraculous. It makes me more like Jesus. I love this third one. Probably my favorite one. Number three, serving surrounds us with those who can help us follow Jesus. I don't know about you. Actually, I do know about you, but some of you won't admit it. But I need some people in my life that can help encourage me. I got a text message from one of our overseers this morning and said, I got up this morning and I was praying and God put you on my mind and I've just got this word from the Lord for you. Man, I need people like that I'm serving with. When we're serving side by side with other believers, what happens is there is this bond that forms that God has always intended to exist in the local church. And that's why the writer of Hebrews 10:24 wrote, he says, let us think of ways to motivate one another. How many of you know it's hard to motivate someone when you're 30 or 40 or 50 miles away? But there's something about it when we come together and we link arms and say, hey, let's get this sound system set up. Let's get these lights set up that we're able to be around each other and we can motivate one another to acts of love and good works. We have a member of our dream team. Love him dearly. He's a really good friend of mine, and he'll often come up to me and he'll say, Andrew, how are you doing on a Sunday morning? And it's not a rhetorical question because we've spent enough time together and we've served enough together. He knows when something is bothering me. And so I've learned I can't even lie about it. First of all, I'm in church. I can't lie in church. And so I've just learned, okay, when he asks, I just tell him what's going on. And this is what he'll do. He'll say, let's pray. And so I've literally been standing out in the lobby as guests are coming in, and he lays his hands on me and prays for me right there. Kind of embarrassing, man. This church is whack. The pastor needs prayer, right? I need more prayer than probably everybody in this room. See, listen, we all can fake someone out for an hour a week while we sit in neat, orderly rows during a service, not having to communicate with anyone. But come in early. Set up, tear down, unload a truck when it's 10 below zero week after week, have a cart run over your toe 1 week. It doesn't take long for the real you to be exposed. And so when we serve together, right, it's so beautiful because there are so many opportunities that come up where we can encourage and we can challenge and we can bless one another. We can lift one another up. I can't tell you how many times over the last 4.5 years that we've rolled into this school. We've rolled our 18-foot box truck in and we're pulling carts out. And I can look. In fact, I remember Deb 1 week, you know, I knew something was wrong with Deb and it was troubling because she always has the biggest smile on her face. And I pulled her aside and said, what's wrong? And just tears started flowing. And we just took a moment and we prayed together. That's what the body of Christ is. Our proximity to one another reveals a need, and it gives us an opportunity to challenge and be there for one another. Talking about the reasons why we serve, here's the fourth one. Number four, serving increases our faith. It increases our faith as we move out of our comfort zone. What happens is God increases our faith by revealing new potential that's been buried deep inside of us. And I want you to hear that. There are many of you sitting here that you've only begun to scratch the surface of the things that God has placed inside of us. And so when we step out and say, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this, what happens is God always provides a way. Ephesians 3:20. Now all glory to God, watch this, who is able through his mighty power at work within us. So many of us got this all wrong. We're like, well, I can't get up and teach. I can't lead a kid's class. I can't facilitate a life group because I don't know everything and I don't have the strength. Perfect, because this verse tells us it's through his mighty power at work within us. It's never been about your strength. It's been about what Christ is doing in us. Watch this, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or even think. In other words, God will blow your mind when you step out and say, God, I'm willing, send me, I'll go. Amen. And so when we see his power working within us, our faith will rise up and we'll begin looking for new doors of opportunity. Let me share one more with you, one more. Reasons why we serve. Number five, serving is good for our soul. Serving is good for our soul. Studies have shown, in fact, scientists, I love it. I love it when science proves what the Bible has said all along, don't you? But studies have shown that volunteering, that's what the world calls it, but it's actually serving. That serving has been scientifically proven to ease symptoms of stress and depression. And so when we serve using our God-given gifts, when we serve him using what we have and we offer that, I want you to understand that it's not just like, okay, I'm setting up this sign or I'm putting up this speaker. There's actually a supernatural transaction that occurs. And what will happen is self-confidence and strength and even physical energy will rise up inside of us. Serving will literally recharge you. I mean, I'm going to just be completely transparent with you here this morning. There have been times in my life where I've facilitated life groups and hosted life groups. And there are days that the life group falls. And how many of you know it's just one of those days? Everything goes wrong at work. It's been a long day. I've been stuck in 3 traffic jams. Nothing has went to plan. I've had one issue after another to deal with. And honestly, I'm tired and I don't really feel like doing it. Anybody been there? Okay, few honest people in church. Thank you. But I go because people are counting on me. And if we look at this from a logical perspective, after that's over, I should leave even more tired than I was when I arrived. But I can't tell you in my life how many times I've walked in tired and I've walked in weary and I've walked in, I'm like, God, I don't even have anything to give these people. But I come home and I'm completely recharged. In fact, I feel like I could work another 5 hours. Like, God, just there's a transformation that happens when we serve. Serving is good for our soul. It's also a great distraction from our own worries and our problems. You know, when we serve, it doesn't eliminate them in our lives, but it helps us keep them in proper perspective. I prayed at the bedside of people who were getting ready to go in for high-risk operations, and they weren't sure that they were even going to make it through the surgery and live. I've sat in a hospital room with a young woman who felt as if life had gotten so bad that her only recourse, her only thing that she could do, her only escape was to try to take her own life. And in those moments that I've gone to serve and share the love of Jesus with them, I've walked away and I've realized how truly blessed I am. And while my problems still existed after I left those hospital rooms, serving allowed me to put them into proper perspective. Just like last week when we talked about corporate praise and worship, serving really isn't about us. But God in His goodness, God in His kindness unlocks all of these amazing things when we say yes to what He asks us to do. And so if you're here this morning, you're sitting here, you've been coming 3 months, year, 2 years, 3 years. But if you're sitting here and you consider the Lifeway your church home, and you aren't serving on a team, I implore you with everything that I have inside of me, I implore you to get involved. Fulfill what the scripture is asking. I feel like I've given so much, and we could probably do a 10-week study on this. I've not even hardly scratched the surface on all the Bible says about this topic. And so you might be sitting and say, okay, well, Andrew, I think you might have convinced me. How do I do that? I'm glad you asked. Our method, our system for helping you do the third and fourth part of our mission, discover purpose and make a difference, is Growth Track. Some of you, if you've been coming here for any length of time, we talk about it twice every single service. You hear me talk about it. One of our service hosts gets up here and talk about it. So I challenge you, don't put it off any longer. Come. Start the process today, right after service. It's 4 weeks, all right, about 3 hours of total time that you're going to invest. But you're going to learn so much about yourself. You're going to learn so much about the way that God designed you and the gifts that He has placed in you. And then once you get through that, we'll get you connected to a team where you can start fulfilling your role, where you can start playing the part in the body of Christ that God puts you here to fill. In the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, there's a very intense portion of scripture. In fact, I struggle with if I should even share this, but I feel like sometimes the things that we read in here aren't always easy, but they're important for us to understand. But this passage describes the day of judgment and how those who inherit the kingdom of God will be separated from those who will not inherit God's kingdom. And so God tells those who made the cut, He says, I was thirsty, I was hungry, I was naked, I was sick, and you met my needs. And that group of righteous people, they responded, Lord, when did we see you hungry? God, when did we see you thirsty? When were you naked? When were you sick? And God replies to them, He says, when you took care of the least of your brothers and sisters, you were doing it unto me. But then He turns to the other group. He turns, scripture says, to the cursed ones, the ones who are banished to eternal fire. And He repeats to them, He says, I was hungry and I was thirsty, I was homeless, I was naked and I was sick, but you didn't take care of me. And they cried out, Lord, there's no way we would have ignored you. We wouldn't have ignored you, Jesus. When did we ever see you in a place of need? And then this is what Jesus said, verse 5, 45. He says, I tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. My prayer for you as a pastor this morning is at the end of your journey, no matter how many more days God has allotted for you to live, is that you would hear God say, thank you for serving me. Thank you for when I was naked that you clothed me, and when I was hungry you gave me food to eat. Thank you. I know that when you served in a kids' way class and you thought no one was watching you and you were back in a room where no one could see you, I want you to understand, even though you thought no one saw you, I saw you. And your lessons were a catalyst that propelled a child to become a missionary, a pastor, an evangelist who ended up changing the world. I know it seems small, but thank you for serving me. I know when you served on the production team, we got a person, their job, they sit back there almost the entire service just in case. They put stuff on and off the stage, and it may feel like nothing, but one of those weeks, God's saying, one of those weeks you did that, one of my children walked into this room and they were considering suicide, but because you served and because you worked so hard to create a distraction-free environment, I was free to move on them, and I was free to heal them of their depression, and now that person has been set free and has single-handedly changed the course of eternity for 10 other people that were just like them. Every part of the body is important. Every position in the church is important. Every person that raises their hand and says yes to Jesus, every person that we bury in water in baptism, every single person that does all of those things, I want you to understand, when you serve on the dream team here at the Lifeway Church, you play a part in their story. Several years ago, I heard an incredible story about an ARC pastor. I'm going to try my best to remember all the details, but he was hurting and he was hungry for God, and so he made the choice. I don't know how he picked out a church, but he went into a church. He walked in the doors. No one said hi to him. It was cold. It was inviting, uninviting. Not a single person greeted him. He eventually made his way to the auditorium, and he found a seat. Sat down, waiting for service to start, feeling completely uncomfortable, completely unwelcomed. And finally, after seeing like an eternity, someone tapped him on the shoulder, and at first he thought, oh yay, someone's going to say hi to me. Someone's going to acknowledge that I'm here. Someone's going to acknowledge my presence. Only to have that person whisper in his ear, hey, you're in my seat. He got up, turned around and walked out the doors of the building, and he completely gave up on God. Time had passed, and while driving down the freeway one day, he thought to himself, no one cares about me. I'm going to drive as fast as I can, and I'm going to hit a light pole, and I'm just going to kill myself. No one will even care if I'm gone. But he remembered a neighbor that had been asking him over and over and over and over and over and over to come to church. And so he decided, I'm going to give God one more chance. So he made his way to church. But this time he visited an ARC church, a church like ours. Met at a local high school. A greeter met him at the door. And instead of just opening the door, I believe led by the Holy Spirit, the greeter gave him a hug. And he tells the story that he felt the love of God for the very first time in his life in just that moment. And so that man who considered taking his life has now planted 3 churches. His church in Southern Florida is not even, I don't think it's even 2 years old, yet they are exploding. They're launching their second campus. Hundreds, probably thousands have said yes to Jesus because of what this man has done, all because somebody cared enough to repeatedly extend an invitation. Somebody was willing to come to a high school on a snowy Sunday morning and set up mobile church and serve and be the hands and feet and the arms of Jesus, to be the body of Christ And I hope you'll hear me this morning, because right now, Jesus is calling out to us in this room and saying, it's time for you to start packing somebody's parachute. You're sitting here because somebody packed your parachute. Those of you that have said yes to Jesus, you're sitting here because somebody cared enough about your soul and the eternity that was at stake to do it for you. I want you to understand, we have places to serve on every single team. And so God is reaching out this morning and he's asking, who will go for me? Who will be my hands? Who will be my feet? Who will serve the least of these? So with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, no one looking around, there are some of us that need to get some priorities back into proper alignment. I'm not even saying the things that you're doing are wrong, but we can fill our lives with so much stuff, even good stuff, that we forget the part that God's called us to play for eternity. Before we go any further, I realize there are those today, maybe you've been challenged by this message of serving, but you're also sitting here and you've never even said yes to Jesus. You've never made that first step of committing your life to follow him. You've never repented. And listen, I want you to understand, today is a great day to do that. And so if you're here this morning and you're ready to make that first step, I think there are many others in this room that maybe at one point said yes to Jesus, but you realize, like, I've been walking my own way, even if I'm not sinning, I've been walking my own way and I've been doing my own thing and I've been oblivious to my purpose. Listen, I believe God's calling us back today. So I wonder how many people in this room, no one looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, are either ready to commit to follow him and serve him for the very first time, or maybe you're ready to recommit, put some things in its proper place. If that's you, I want to pray for you. So with no one looking around, would you just lift your hand? Is there anyone? Man, hands all over the place. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I see you in the back. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord Jesus. Lord, today I give you my life. I give you my heart, Jesus. All over again, I give myself wholly and completely to you. Lord, for those that are in this room right now that have never said yes to Jesus, Lord, right now, Lord, we just collectively say, Lord, we give our lives to you. Lord, today I repent, which is just a fancy way of saying I choose to stop going my own direction, and instead, Lord, I'm going to move towards you. And so, Lord God, I pray that you would wash and cleanse, that you would set free, that you would deliver, and that you would heal. But Lord Jesus, before I wrap up this prayer, this message really was about your church. It's about your people. And so, Lord God, I pray for those in this room who have gotten complacent, who've gotten a little bit lazy, who've stopped pursuing things that have eternal significance, things that will last long beyond the days that we spend here on earth. And so, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us. Lord, wash our hearts. Cleanse us, Lord God. Lord God, forgive us for putting other things. In fact, what you said in the Old Testament was, forgive us for having other gods before you. And Lord Jesus, we can't change the past. But Lord, from this day forward, that we would walk out of this room changed and determined to be the hands and feet and the mouthpiece and the eyes, Lord God, the body of Christ, the piece of the body that you've called us to be, that we would serve with love and serve with everything that we have with gladness. We ask all of this in Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said,
thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org www.grace.church/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.